Welcome again. This is Doyle Burbank Williams, and you have found Agents of Providence. I'm the pastor for New Visions United Methodist Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. I am also an artist and consider myself a ponderer and a bit of a gadfly in the usual institutions of religion. Agents of Providence is a place where we think about, well, are we doing any real good in the world? And what ways can we be doing good in the world? Being agents of the providence that exists for all of us. So this time we are talking about Easter Sunday and what the scriptures say to us about that and ways that we can find resurrection in the world today and in our own lives. So we will begin with the resurrection story as is related in John's gospel. And that's actually a little bit of a misnomer because none of the Gospels actually tell us about the resurrection itself. They are all stories of what happens after the resurrection. So let's listen to how John relates that story. This is from John 20, verses 1 through 18. Early in the morning of that first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." Peter and the other disciple left to go to the tomb. They were running together, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and was the first to arrive at the tomb. Bending down to take a look, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he didn't go in. Following him, Simon Peter entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. He also saw the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head. It wasn't with the other cloths, but was folded up in its own place. Then the other disciple, the one who arrived at the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. Yet they didn't understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place where they were staying. Mary stood outside near the tomb crying. And as she cried, she bent down to look into the tomb. She saw two angels dressed in white, seated where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the foot. And the angels asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" She replied, "They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've put him." As soon as she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to me, "Now don't hold on to me, for I have not yet gone up to my Father. Go to my brothers and sisters and tell them I'm going up to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary left and announced to the disciples, "I've seen the Lord." And then she told them what he said to her. May we find some inspiration from the Spirit on the hearing of these words today. Now, this Sunday is one of the two a year that many people actually make an effort to go to church. They come to hear the good news that the tomb cannot hold Jesus. They conveniently skip the arrest, the trial, the torture, the execution, and many of them all of Lent. They skip the tears and the denials and the fear. And maybe they skip all that because somehow they feel like they've already experienced at least a piece of all that in their own lives. Maybe they come to church because after a year or more of a world that grinds them down and bursts their dreams, they need a day of bright hope. Now, while I'm acutely aware that we cannot be things, all things to all people, the question that the risen Jesus asks Mary is apt. Who are you looking for? I don't know who these people come looking for. What do we, who are in church regularly, hope to see on Easter morning? I struggle every year to find some new good news on Easter morning because it's like an old joke whose punchline everybody knows. As soon as they hear the lead-in line, everybody groans because they've heard it before lots of times. I'm not saying that Easter is a joke, but we already know what the story tells us is a big surprise, that Jesus is risen. So I'm straining my spiritual eyes to see what Jesus' resurrection 2,000 years ago will hold for us in 2023. Maybe Jesus' question of Mary shows that she was looking for a cadaver, for death. So focused on finding a lifeless body was she that she didn't recognize Jesus until he spoke her name. She'd seen the results of violence close up. She watched Jesus die on the cross. She likely had seen other examples of Rome's violence as well. Rome was quick to retaliate and very slow to show mercy. Violence was the coin of the world, and those in power spent liberally. By the time John's gospel was written, its readers would have seen the fist of Rome, of the Roman Empire, offer its final solution to the Jews who were prone to revolt. They marched on Jerusalem and razed the temple itself. That's R-A-Z-E-D. They leveled it to the ground. The temple was the center and seat of Jewish religion, seen by many as the actual home of God's being. The destruction of the temple was Rome's ultimate object lesson, that their power was greater than the God of the Jews. The power of violence continues to teach us its lessons even in our day. Six people were slaughtered in the 13th school shooting of this new year. Three of them were 9 years old. Those in power have shrugged at their supposed helplessness and said that they're powerless to do anything about it. The gun lobby and those who have succumbed to fear caterwaul that the only way to fix this is through more violence. It is an indictment of our society that after every mass shooting in our country, gun sales soar. We have seen the power of violence firsthand, and it is almost impossible to escape. So if those first readers of John's Gospels were believers in the gospel of violence, then maybe it's forgivable that they didn't recognize Jesus as the promised Messiah. A real Messiah would command armies and rout the infidel invaders, reclaiming Israel for God's people. When Mary was desperately looking for a broken body, the person she encountered could be mistaken for a gardener. Maybe the hands were dirty, the knees caked in mud. A gardener is one who tends the earth, nurturing growth and life. None of the Gospels actually depict the resurrection itself. Lots of artists throughout the ages have shown a shining Jesus hovering above the tomb, the mortal transformed into immortality. Glossing over, of course, the idea that we believe that even in Jesus' full humanity resides the fullness of God's nature. Maybe instead of a transformation of broken humanity into gloriously unbesmirched light, the resurrection was a confirmation of all that Jesus taught and showed. Maybe Jesus walked out of the tomb with muscles aching for the weight of the love they still carried. Maybe Jesus still had the stains and the dusts of the roads he had traveled from Galilee to Jerusalem. Even John seems to affirm this in Thomas's encounter with the risen Christ, because the wounds are still present and unhealed. The resurrection does not replace the one who faced the world's violence with a conquering hero. What we get is the one who continues to heal and feed and love us back to life. So the question Easter asks of us is, who are you looking for? Are we looking for an American Messiah more resembling John Wayne or Rambo, who can out-violence the violence of the world? Or the kind of Messiah who might be mistaken for a gardener, whose hands are dirty with loving the world back to life? Are we looking for death or for life? Now, I have burned out a time or two in my ministry career. One of those times precipitated our move to Nebraska. The churches I served in North Dakota had not been wild about my style of ministry, and my wife's family had some elders who needed younger, spryer people to help nearby. I thought I was done with church work. I enrolled in graduate-level art classes at UNL. I looked for work that would pay the bills. Mom and Dad came down to Lincoln to visit us in our new situation, and while here, Dad handed me a brand new United Methodist Book of Worship. It had just been published. I must have looked a little befuddled because I had told them that I was done with church work. Dad gently said, "I just thought you might find some use for it." I had eyes on the death of my calling. Dad had eyes for resurrection. I still use that book of worship regularly, and it's a sign of resurrection for me, particularly when conducting funerals from its pages. I don't know how we train our eyes and our hearts to be looking for new life on Easter morning. Maybe what it takes is to occasionally hear our own name called out. It's awe-inspiring to ponder that the love which created this entire limitless universe knows each of our names and can speak it to bring us new vision and a new life. In a world filled with suffering, pain, and injury, maybe it is the most healing gift of all to hear our very own name called in love. And maybe it is our calling as followers of the one who was raised is to see and speak the names in love of those that this world is most prone to hurt. May our alleluias on Easter morning be an affirmation that gives ourselves to the one who still works to bring a new life to the world. Some questions to ponder. Have you ever been tempted to be a part of the cult of violence proclaimed by our society? Where have you experienced hope reborn? When have you heard your name called? How did that feel for your life? How can we share the good news of life-giving love shared by Christ in this world that is addicted to power and to violence? Thank you for spending this time with us here on Agents of Providence, hoping that in one way or another, resurrection in whatever form it shows up is a sign of the providence that we are given to give away. I'm Doyle Burbank Williams. If you have been intrigued by any of this, please leave us some questions in the comments. And hope to see you again on Agents of Providence. Have a good week.